Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari. Yashoda nanana braja jana ranjana Yashoda nanana braja jana ranjana Jamuna tira Jamuna tira manachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, jayam Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivraja Gacharja Stotara Sata Shri Shriman. His Divine Grace is Bhaktivinanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Iskan Bhivati Fangra Charja Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jayam Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivraja Gacharja Stotara Sata Shri Shriman. His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada ki jai. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. Samaveta Bhakta Vrindaki, all glories to the assembly devotees, all glories to the assembly devotees, all glories to the assembly devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 10, chapter 15, text number 36, 37, and 38. The killing of Denuka, the ass demon. So I'll do 36 and 37, and then we can all do 38. Tata Krishnam Charamam Cha Gyatayo Denukasyaye Kroshtaro Vyadravam Sarve Samrabdha Hata Bandhavaha. The other ass demons, close friends of Denukasura, were enraged upon seeing his death, and thus they all immediately ran to attack Krishna and Balaram. Purport. Srila Sanatana Goswami makes the following comment on this verse. It is stated here that the ass demons first attacked Krishna and then Balaram. Krishnam cha, Ramam cha. One reason for this is that the demons, having seen the prowess of Lord Balaram, thought it wise to attack Krishna first. Or it may be that out of affection for his elder brother, Lord Krishna placed himself between Balaram and the ass demons. The words Krishnam cha Ramam cha may also be understood to indicate that Lord Balaram, out of affection for his younger brother, went to Lord Krishna's side. Text 37. Tamstana patata Krishna Ramascha Nipalilaya Grihita pascha charanan Prahinot Trinarajasu. O king, as the demons attacked, Krishna and Balaram easily seized them one after another by their hind legs. and threw them all into the tops of the palm trees. Text 38, please repeat. Phala prakara sankirnam. Daitya dehair gata shubhi. Raraja bhu satala grair. Ghanair eva nabhastalam. Phala prakara sankirnam. Daitya dehair gata shubhi. Raraja bhu satala grair. Ghanair eva nabhastalam. Phala prakara sankirnam. Daitya dehair gata subhi. Raraja bhu satala grair. Ghanayariva nabastalam. Phala prakara sankirnam. Daitya dehair gata subhi. Raraja bhu satala grahe. Ghanayariva nabastalam. Phala prakara sankirnam. Daitya dehair gata subhi. Raraja bhu satala grahe. Ganai vivana bhastalam. Phala prakara sankirnam. Daitya dehair gata subhi. Raja bhu satala grahe. Ganariva nabastalam. Mataji. Phala prakara sankirnam. Nityare hai gata subhi. Raja bhu satala grahe. Ghanariva nabhastalam. Okay. Word for word. Phala prakara. With heaps of fruits. Sankirnam. Covered. Daitya dehai. With the bodies of the demons. Gata asubhihi. Which were lifeless. Raraja. Shown forth. Buhu. The earth. Satala agrai. With the tops of the palm trees. Ghanai. With clouds. Eva. As. Nabha talam. The sky. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The earth then appeared beautifully covered with heaps of fruits and with the dead bodies of the demons, which were entangled in the broken tops of the palm trees. Indeed, the earth shone like the sky decorated with clouds. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the bodies of the demons were dark, like dark blue clouds, and the large quantity of blood that had flowed from their bodies appeared like bright red clouds. Thus, the whole scene was very beautiful, with blood. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in His various forms, such as Ram and Krishna, is always transcendental. And when He enacts this transcendental pastime, when He enacts His transcendental pastimes, the result is always beautiful and transcendental. Even when the Lord performs violent acts like killing the stubborn ass demons. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Darati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the translation to this verse again. The earth then appeared beautifully covered with heaps of fruits and with the dead bodies of the demons which were entangled in the broken tops of the palm trees. Indeed, the earth shone like the sky decorated with clouds. So, this is a very important part of this chapter, describing the killing of Dhenukasura. Previously to this, in a few verses ahead, the cowherd boys, they weren't doing this out of hatred for the ass demons there. That after the killing of Agasura, they wanted to continue the pastimes of Krishna. They wanted to let the pastimes flow, the pastimes of killing demons. They want pastimes to keep flowing. So they suggested this pastime of killing Dhenukasura on the basis of the wonderful ripe fruits, fragrant fruits. These tala fruits were apparently very fragrant. I've never seen them or smelled them. Anybody has ever seen tala fruits? You have seen? Good. Pan Govinda Prabhu has seen. And you have eaten also. Wow. Never touch your feet. So, so this place, for those of you who haven't heard it yet, this place is in between Mathura and Govardhan Hill. It says two yojanas. One yojan is 8 miles. So 16 miles. It's almost directly in the middle between Govardhan Hill and Mathura. And so the boys, they just suggested that these are all these wonderful fruits out here. Fragrant, you can smell them from a distance, but there is this demon, Dhenukasura, who is claiming them all to be his. Anyone who would come there, he would fight them and kill them. He would even, it is described that he would even swallow human beings completely whole like that. He would pick them up and swallow them. So, and they thought that it was not fair. It was unfair that one demon or a bunch of demons could control a whole forest and all the nice fruits and whatever else nice things are there for everybody. They said it is public property. The cowherd boy said, these forests of fruits and everything, they are public property. Why should, you know, one set of demons control everything, or even one demon, Dhenukasura, why should he control it for himself and his friends? Not even the birds, it is described, not even the birds or the other beasts could go nearby. So when they mentioned this to Krishna and Balaram, that this is the first time I've seen that they don't actually force him to go there. They said, if you so desire, if you think it's a good idea, then let's go there. Usually it is, if you so desire, Srila Prabhupada has used it a lot. I checked on the on the folio, it's 115 times he said, if you so desire. meaning that we can't force Krishna to do anything. We beg his mercy. Like whenever we would have difficulty in the early days when Srila Prabhupada got sick, the devotees were praying to Krishna. And Krishna and Srila Prabhupada told them that if you want to approach Krishna for something, you should start off, whatever you're praying for, you should start it off by saying, if you so desire, because you're approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We cannot force him to do anything. So if you so desire, please save Srila Prabhupada. They were saying, Srila Prabhupada was sick at that time. Or if you so desire, please let Srila Prabhupada live on, different things like that. And there was a Robin George case, if you so desire, please help this case or something like that. The temples were praying like that. In the Bhaktivedanta manor, they had that big fight with the local council there, Hertzmere Council. They didn't want to give them permission. They wanted to close down the temple at Bhaktivedanta Manor because there were so many people coming, and they were claiming that the roads were too small and there was this problem and too many people were coming there. So finally, after years of battle, the devotees were able to be successful in keeping that property. Now, tens of thousands of people go there for worship every year. So the boys were saying, if you so desire, let's go to this forest. And of course, Krishna and Balaram, there's nothing that's an obstruction for them. So immediately they laughed. It is described that they laughed and smiled, and they started going. So in the purport, there's one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada is quoting Kapila Dev in the third canto, 328.32, he said, it's a beautiful verse. Hasam harer avanata khila loka tivra shokashu sagara vishoshanam atyudaram sammohanaya rachitam nijamaya yasya brumandalam munikrite makara twajasya. The translation is, a yogi should similarly meditate on the most benevolent smile of Lord Sri Hari, a smile which, for all those who bow to him, dries away the ocean of tears caused by intense grief. The yogi should also meditate on the Lord's arched eyebrows, which are manifested by his internal potency in order to charm the sex god for the good of the sages. O my Lord, you are all powerful. A fiery iron arrow, or this is Uttara speaking here. A fiery iron arrow is coming towards me fast, my Lord. Let it burn me personally, if you so desire. But please do not let it burn and abort my embryo. Please do me this favor. This was Uttara speaking when the Ashwatthama had thrown the Brahmastra. So this verse, it's described that this world, this material world, there is an ocean of tears. And this ocean of tears is caused by intense grief of the citizens of this world. So there's an ocean of salt water, ocean of sugar water, ocean of ghee somewhere. These are seven oceans. But there's also an ocean of tears. And this is the part that concerns everyone in this world. While everyone needs everything to live, you need a good job, you need money, you need so many things, house and car and so forth, especially in Alatra, you need a car. You also need peace of mind. You also need a place where there are no anxiety, where there is no tears. But this ocean of tears is affecting everyone, except for one who has surrendered at the lotus feet of the Lord. So they went there. The boys decided to ask Krishna and Balaram, and they then decided to go. So you can imagine going to a place where it is guarded by these great demons. And they're so powerful, Dinukasura and his friends. So Balaram and Krishna, of course, they led the way. And Krishna was thinking in his mind that I've already killed so many demons. I'm going to give Balaram a chance now. So Balaram went up front, and then he was so powerful, he started violently shaking all these tall trees. And all the fruits began to fall. And of course it makes noise, and so the demon immediately awoke and came forward and started to attack Balaram, hit him in the chest with his two hind legs. So Balaram responded by catching his two back legs and whirl him around, so that he died in his hand. He died while whirling him around, and he threw him into the top of the tala trees. And that causes a chain reaction whereby many, many trees fell. So many other of his friends, they saw this and they came to attack. And by that time, Krishna and Balaram, they were just killing them one after another. So this is where we are at, where his friends have come to fight on their behalf, on Dinukasura's behalf. The other asked demons, close friends of Dinukasura, were enraged upon seeing his death, and thus they all immediately ran to attack Krishna and Balaram. So it's interesting that Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport that Sanatan Goswami said that demons first attack Krishna and then Balaram, because they have just seen how Balaram has, you know, shaken the trees, and how powerful Balaram was. He killed this Dinukasura demon. So they said, better not attack him first. He is already too powerful. Let's go to Krishna. But then it could be described in the opposite way also, whereby Krishna thinking of his elder brother, and he placed himself between Balaram and the demons. O king, as the demons attacked, Krishna and Balaram easily seized them one after another by their hind legs and threw them all into the tops of the palm trees. Donkeys, asses, Prabhupada called them jackass in one of the purports. They're usually considered inauspicious, hardworking, inauspicious, fools. They don't have much brains. Srila Prabhupada has described people in this world who don't have any inclination toward God consciousness to be asses. And the scriptures also describe camels, cows, asses, and so forth. However, in Jagannath Puri yesterday, Radhika Raman Prabhu was talking about Jagannath Puri, and he was saying how the prasad you get in Jagannath Puri, everyone can take, and it is so wonderful. Nobody gets sick there, and there is a particular place in Jagannath Puri where you can go and take prasad, and everyone can take. The donkeys there are considered to be great sages. They are four-legged, and they don't go through any suffering. Have you ever heard? Yes, so I heard. And it's actually mentioned in one of the purports that Srila Prabhupada saying that. And also in, might have been Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there's a description there of Jagannath Puri. Neelachal, Purushottam Kshetra. That even the donkeys, everything is so auspicious there that even the donkeys, they have four legs. They have a sarupya. They have the same form as the Supreme Lord. But otherwise, donkeys in general are not very auspicious. They work hard. Srila Prabhupada said, don't be talking to us. Don't be like a donkey working hard just for a little grass at the end of the day. Donkeys work so hard all day long and are carrying heavy loads, only thinking that at the end of the day the master will give him some grass. Srila Prabhupada said, grass is found everywhere. All over you can find grass, green grass. So why work for this man all day long, just for a little grass at the end? And if he remembers, he'll give you. If he doesn't remember, then you have to go hungry. So people in this world, they are like that, working very hard, spending all your time, dedicating all your time to family and friends and society, country, not thinking of their own spiritual benefit, not interested in their spiritual development. So we should not become like that. We should spend more time doing Krishna conscious activities, dedicate our time to that. Because we are going to get everything that we have to get, we will get automatically. Happiness comes, suffering also will come. So we tolerate, and then we try as far as possible to purify ourselves. So like that. So these verses here are very, very important. The earth then appeared beautifully covered with heaps of fruits and with the dead bodies of the demons. This dark blue color, it is described here. The bodies appear like bright red clouds. The blood flowing is like bright red clouds. And the demons' bodies are like dark blue clouds. Krishna's body also is considered like that, dark blue clouds. In Hari Bhakti Vilas, there is description of how one should meditate. One should actually think of the Lord. Because sometimes one can do manasa puja. One can worship the Lord in the mind. And in order to purify the mind, there are some descriptions given of how what one should think about, what one should meditate on. Here is a little example. I'll read a couple of verses from there. So this should be the meditation. Sri Krishna is surrounded by cows with long, slender tails. They approach him with an unsteady gait, for their udders are swollen with milk. Their large eyes become glued to the lotus face of the Lord, while half-chewed tender shoots of grass remain poised in the ends of their teeth. The newborn calves remain motionless, their beauty enhanced by the milk foam flowing from their small lips and teeth, with which they had so eagerly sucked all the full udders. They cock their little ears to hear the deep, enchanting notes from his flute. The older calves, with colorful blankets around their throats and little horns emerging from their soft heads, raise their tails, butt each other, playfully gallop this way and that, and finally gathered around the Lord. The cowherd boy, similar to Krishna in character, blissful nature, age, activities, and dress, plays sweet, low melodies on their flutes and their veenas. They sang graceful tunes, and with their arms extended, they danced very expertly. The babies, with little lisping words in their mouths, tiger claws hanging from their necks, and jingling bells attached to their ankles and fat bellies, also approached the Lord. For his long bowed eyebrows, he shoots sharp glances, a shower of deadly arrows of love that break the vulnerable points in the composure of the gopis. Disturbed but unsubmitting, they try to suppress the painful trembling that begins to afflict all parts of their bodies. And it continues like that. This is just an indication of how the meditation should go before one does purifying one's mind. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Yeah, Nishinga. Nishinga from Washington. There is a microphone there. Can somebody get? Thank you.
On television, you can see so many of the shows are filled with violence and blood, bloody depictions. And they're not so actually beautiful. But people are attracted to seeing them. Otherwise, most of the shows wouldn't be so. I'm trying to figure out how is it that Krishna is killing these demons and blood everywhere. How can it be so beautiful when it's hard to fathom?
Everything in the material world is considered to be a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So the devotees are very happy. Whatever Krishna does, Prabhupada said here, even perform the violent acts like killing the stubborn ass demons is also beautiful and transcendental. So because Krishna, his prowess, just his power, that alone is so attractive. So killing the demons is very wonderful. I mean, it's like seeing a criminal get killed. A criminal is creating so much havoc in the country. One time they had these guys, they were going around in a car. They have a hole in the car inside. They're shooting people on the road. And no one could find them. They don't know who is doing it because it's so secretive. They just have a hole in the car and they put their gun there. And they go drive by gas stations and other places and just shoot people. So people are dying and they go from one state to another. And they're just harassing people and nobody knows who they are. So after they have killed, I don't know, like a dozen people or something, the police, they're scratching their head on what to do. Anyway, they found them sleeping in a car somewhere in Ohio or someplace. They have gone all the way from Washington, all the way across the different states. So when you catch such a person and you kill him and, you know, take his intestines out or whatever, people are very happy. This is beautiful. So this demon, Denukasura, was like that. Like when Lord Nrisimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu, you know, put his intestines around, like a garland around his neck. This was wonderful for the devotees. He was such a demon. He was killing Brahmas. He was disturbing the devotees doing yajnas. And he stopped, you know, closed down all the temples and destroy all the readings of Bhagavat and Bhagavad Gita and so forth. So such a person, when he is killed, everyone is happy. I'm sure Pran Govinda Prabhu has a lot to say about it.
Yeah, I'd like to say something about that too. I mean, this killing thing seems to come up quite frequently. I mean, the Christian talk about, you know, the 10th commandment, one of the 10 commandments is thou shalt not kill, and Prabhupada used that as a justification against, you know, support vegetarianism. And yet here it seems to be almost glorified that demons are getting killed and slaughtered and there's blood everywhere, you know, and this is like, it's a good thing. So I don't know if you got some comments on that as how you sort of justified or square that, what seems like a conundrum or paradox. I mean.
Yeah, killing is generally bad. In fact, what is it? The first law of preservation is to save life, not to kill. However, Srila Prabhupada gave the example of Lord Ram, that when Ravana, the demon, came and kidnapped Mother Sita, that if you stay quiet and don't do anything about it, that will be considered sinful. So you have to do something about it. And that means, sometimes it means you have to kill. You have to kill the demon. So, thou shalt not kill, when Srila Prabhupada used that term, he was talking about vegetarianism, that people are killing left and right, opening slaughterhouses to kill innocent animals. All are also living entities. So by killing like that and eating, some people say, well, I don't kill, I only eat. Well, because you're eating, therefore there is a business for killing. So there are 6 or 7 people, those who purchase, those who allow the killing, those who transport, those who eat, those who cook, those who sell. All of them are implicated in the crime of killing. Therefore, they all suffer equally. So killing is not good. We don't recommend killing. However, when it's necessary, a war, like Krishna and Pandavas, they tried so hard to avoid war, the Mahabharata war. Krishna himself, at the end, went to Duryodhan to beg him, just give them one village each. They're Kshatriyas also, they are rulers, they have to rule something. Please, just give them one village and avoid this war. No, we cannot give them not, enough land to even stick a pin. So bad they were. So at that point in time, there was no other choice. In fact, Krishna arranged it. He wanted to kill all these, he wanted to bring all these demoniac kings in one spot to kill them all. Because that was his, that's the reason why he came to this world anyway, to relieve, to give relief to Mother Earth with all these demoniac kings. So then the Mahabharata war had to happen. Because when there is, Prabhupada said, when there are criminals, then you need a strong government. If you don't have a strong government, then criminals will go, everyone will be in anxiety. There will be no peace. So for that reason, killing is necessary. Anything else? Tell us. What does it mean?
That I think Prabhupada even was with his guru, and his guru ordered one snake to be killed, cobra, in Mayapur. And so at the time, Prabhupada was thinking, oh, that's kind of weird. But later he read that verse, Prahlad Maharaj's prayer, describing Mode Dasadara Bibrishtikasa. You remember the first line? No. But the main line that, Tadyacha Manya Masaras Tvayadash Tvayadya Mode Dasadara Bibrishtikasa Pahatya. He pacifying Lord Nrsingadev Prahlad, he's saying, Tadyacha Manya Masaras. Give up your anger against the demons, and then he describes that modeta sadhur, even the sadhus are modeta, please. Modeta sadhur api brishchika, when a scorpion or a serpent are killed. Modeta sadhur api brishchika sarpa, snake, hatya, killed. That's the main high point of that verse that's always quoted. So then Prabhupada said, yes, this is the Shastric injunction. Six types of aggressors also. What?
They say without reason they bite.
They bite without reason. Six type of aggressors. Those right. Who come to set fire and poison
those
you,
give
kill
poison.
You. So it appears that these asses weren't, they were just hanging out in the forest, but at the same time, it wasn't like everybody saw the scene either. It was just these coward boys. They thought it was fun. So the idea is this is taking place in Krishna's past.
Yeah, well, that's another thing is that, you know, the wars of today, they have no control over their weapons. Like when there is religious war, they go to far place where there is no civilians. Mahabharata war was fought in Kurukshetra. They had to go away from the cities. That's where they were doing all the killing. So civilians don't get hurt. These days, they have no control over their weapons. They can kill all kinds of women and children, get killed and get hurt. The devotees are not known to be killers. They're known to be very kind and very peaceful. They don't even kill an ant, Srila Prabhupada said. They just see these boys, how much they have changed, boys and girls, how much they have changed. Now they wouldn't even kill an ant. So devotees are known as peaceful. They cannot be the same as people out there on the street. Our practice, our life, the reflection we give people outside should be different from what you see in a regular man on the street. If there is no difference, then what can you preach? How can we help others if there is no difference between our life and the people out there? So we are known to be peaceful, and all the qualifications that are there in Bhagavad Gita. They're tolerant, they're compassionate, they're kind, you know, they're have all these good qualities. These are the qualities of the devotees. And once in a while, when there is a disturbance, then they have to stand up, they have to fight. Switch.
In the first canto, there's an example of Parikshit that Taraskrita Vipralabdha Kshipta. There's different descriptions that he's being described there. That he's so tolerant that even he's defamed, cursed, beaten, or even killed, still he does not protest. So that's even the first canto.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time we get up here to the 10th canto, we're supposed to already know that devotees have his tatikshiva karunika, ajata shatrava shanta, all these different qualifications, they're there, daya, mercy. So still they take pleasure when they hear Krishna's pastime like this. But unless we know that, then we might jump ahead and think, without being familiar with the rest of the Bhagavatam, you might think, well, devotees are just taking pleasure in this, they're crazy people. But no, you don't know what the qualification is yet.
Right.
Of course, those who are very advanced, they're usually involved with the Gopi Leela or something. They don't think too much about Dainagasu, or they think they're advanced.
Who is this? Yeah.
And then she saw that Prabhupada went.
It's off now, I think.
So she saw Prabhupada was doing like this. And then she went inside and paid her business. She was a little surprised what Prabhupada is doing like this.
And Prabhupada is whirling something.
Yeah. So then Prabhupada noticed that she came. She said, oh, because there was a painting of Dainagasura and Balaram is doing. So this is what Balaram does. So, because Prabhupada got caught, you know, like, because he didn't know what Prabhupada is doing like this.
I see. Oh, wow.
So Prabhupada obviously loved it, but I think what Charles saying, we should see from different angle. This Leela is not in the Bhaktivinoda Thakur explanation that there is an evolution. So every species has 8 million preset. There is no intervention. They will gradually, one after another body goes. Then 4 million is the human where karma begins. The choice is there. The 8 million, there is no choice. It's just a one after another goes. So if somebody intervenes by eating or disturbing that species, then he has to assume also degrade that soul to halt for a while. And that is illegal. It should be punishable. Like I'm going to the 50th floor and then somebody pushed me out from the 10 stairs, then it's a kind of a suffering. So the consequence is that if I push somebody on the way to the human race, then he also has to come down. So that's why according to Manusanghita, it is illegal. It is sinful. They must suffer. So that's the killing that we are against, that nobody should kill because they are gradually progressing to the highest platform where they can come to Krishna consciousness. And if somebody intervenes, he suffers, the animal also suffers, or even fish, whatever the species is. So this is what, but here Dhenukasura's case is not this. Dhenukasura's case is that Lord Krishna is so merciful because he is a Brahman, Supreme Brahman. Anything comes in contact with him, he literally liberates that condition. Dhenukasura, his family, they are eternally happy now. This is the ultimate goal of all the living being, to become ultimate happiness, to be liberated and become enter into the spiritual world. So they got this, so who would be against it? But if somebody eats something, they are actually intervening that species also in their own life, damaging. So that's what it should be stopped, killing. So yeah. There's two ways to look at it.
Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.